The various minhagim of Chodesh Elul. So let me go. Okay, let me turn to my notes. Okay, there is a very sacred minhag, which is still in practice in many places. Not all the minhagim we are still familiar with, but one minhag that's very, very sacred is that is to recite Tehillim in Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul is a minhag Yisrael. Some shul still do it after davening is over. Bitzibur to recite 10 mizmorim after every tefillah. There's a seder in Chodesh Elul. Every tefillah we say 10 mizmorim. You go in sequence. Why? And the reason why is a little bit alpi Kabbalah, because we know there are 150 mizmorim in Tehillim. And if you say 10 mizmorim every single tefillah, that's 30 mizmorim a day, times 30. I'm making a mistake in the calculation, but it comes out that if you recite 10 mizmorim, you will conclude Tehillim twice over Chodesh Elul. And why is it important to recite? What's brought down in many svarim, this idea. Maybe it's in Ramah even says this. I don't remember exactly. Because the number 300 is a very sacred number in Judaism, because it's the gematria of Kaper. Okay. Not all gematrias are the same, but the number 300 is the gematria Kaper, atonement. And being that there are 150 mizmorim in Tehillim, if we recite Tehillim twice, so that means you will be reciting 300, mizmorim. And that will be for us a merit for kapara going into the next year. And that's part of the cycle to say 10 mizmorim after each tefillah during Chodesh Elul. Not everyone can say 10 mizmorim. So there are other types of customs. They say from the Baal Shem Tov, if he only said 3, he is minig by his chassidim was to say every single day 3 mizmorim, and on Yom, then also they go into Yom Kippur. Okay, there are different ways to break it up, what to do. But the common denominator is that in Chodesh Elul, it is a zman to be marbe in reciting Tehillim. Many people, they don't say Tehillim the whole year, but during Chodesh Elul is a time to open up a Tehillim, to get familiar with it, and to say maybe even 1 mizmor a day, 2 mizmor a day, 3 mizmor a day, to familiarize yourself with the Sefer, and that will change your frame of mind leading into Elul, leading into the Yemei Hadin. Okay, next thing. Now this is an interesting halacha, which I don't know, it's a very complicated halacha, and that is, Elul is Shloishim Yoim Koidem Hachag. It's 30 days before the festival. There's halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you're not permitted to deliver eulogies, Hespedim Shloishim Yoim Koidem Hachag. Now what exactly does that mean? You're not allowed to deliver eulogies. Now this does not mean when a person dies. A levaya. When a person dies, of course, that's the halacha. You're supposed to eulogize the person 100%. The only time there are no eulogies on a day when you don't say tachnun. Chodesh Elul, we recite tachnun, so there's nothing to discuss. You're allowed to deliver eulogies. You're allowed to deliver eulogies during Chodesh Elul. What it means is, every so often you see when a great person dies, a gadol dies, there's a very important thing where they have special, in fact, let's say for the shloishim, or just in general, a special gathering just to give honor to the person who died, to eulogize him. And it's a very spooky thing, because Chazal said that if a person does not receive a proper eulogy, it can be a very great complaint, a very great kitroik on the family, on the tzibur. We mentioned, when we spoke about kinois, that when Yoshiyahu died, by Yekoinen Yirmiyos Yoshiyahu died one of the great merits, I'm sorry, I lost you. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. I lost you there for a moment. Okay, I'm back here. Okay, let's get back to business. Sorry about that. All right, so one of the great merits when Yoshiyahu was a Klal Yisrael, they eulogized him with the letters of the Aleph Beis. And Chazal said because they eulogized him with the letters of the Aleph Beis, they delayed the Churban. The Churban Beis HaMikdash was delayed by 22 years in the merit of properly eulogizing Yoshiyahu HaMelech. We learn from this that when a person leaves this world, it is extremely critical that he get his due. If a person just dies and they just bury him he's gone, on to the next. That's a terrible kitrug not to appreciate the value of life, who a person was. So it's not so uncommon that when people die, and let's say they died during a time when they died on a day when you're not allowed to give a levayu, there are no hespedim. So they make it up. They have a very big hesped on the shloshim or at some other point in time. There is a halacha that you're not allowed to make these elaborate hespedim that are in honor of a person who died during 30 days, during the period of 30 days before Yom Tov. So therefore, it's not the proper time. Elul is a partial Yom Tov. It's a very complicated period of time. On the one hand, Elul are the days of Yira, as we are approaching the Yomim Noiroyim. But Mitzad Sheni, Elul is a time of Simcha. It's a time that we are gearing up to a holiday. The holiday of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. It's a Yom Tov. And during the time of Yom Tov, a person has to be besimcha. And it's not a proper time to eulogize, to devote to mourning the dead excessively. Now, this is not so simple, what I just told you, because today, anyway, even in our best attempt to eulogize people, it doesn't turn into a session where everyone is crying and has tsar. And that is why today we're very lenient in this halacha, especially when it comes to Talmidei Chachamim, because Talmidei Chachamim are generally the exception to this Shul Chacham. You're allowed to be Masvid Chacham even on a day when you don't usually eulogize, when you don't say Tachanun, you're allowed to eulogize a Talmud Chacham. So certainly when you're dealing with eulogizing Talmidei Chachamim, even when it's not the time of their death, we're very lenient, like I said before, because especially people don't anyway come Lidei Bechia. Now, you'll say to me, what's the big nafgamina? Because anyway, today, you know, we don't really do this. The real big nafgamina is a hakomas matseva. That is the big debate. Is it proper to arrange, to schedule a hakomas matseva in Chodesh Elul? That's the big debate. So some will argue and say it's not proper, because when you go to Hakamas Matseva, there are eulogies. And Elul is not the time to make eulogies that could be made at other times of the year. So if a person, let's say this man, I mean, today Hakamas Matseva is a very fuzzy type of minhag. Okay? There doesn't appear to be any makor anywhere to have a ceremony for the Hakamas Matseva. Today, it's a minhag Yisrael to make a ceremony. Go to the cemetery, and everyone comes together, they say a kelmole, they say Kaddish, they say Tehillim, somebody reads the Nusach of the Matseva, and delivers a eulogy. That's the way we do it today. There is absolutely no source for this anywhere. This appears to be a non-Jewish minhag that has crept into our minhagim. Okay, but the bottom line is we do it. Wherever it comes from, but we do it. But one thing is clear, there's no set day when to make the Hakamas Matzeva. We always discuss this. In Eretz Yisrael, it's very common they do the Hakamas Matzeva by the Shloishim. And in fact, many people do it already by the Shiva. When they get it from Shiva, they go straight to the cemetery and they have a ceremony, Hakamas Matzeva. Someone was very quick to write the Nusach HaMatzeva during the Shiva. And the stone department, they already have it up, and they have the whole thing, the whole nusach, the stone is ready, and they can do a Hakamas Matzeva even right after the Shiva. And if not after the Shiva, they do it by the Shloshim. In America, that's not the minhag. In America, it's usually done approximately at the time of the Yahrzeit, a year later. But it doesn't have to be bo bayom. And usually it's not bo bayom. It's usually on a Sunday before, a Sunday after. It doesn't have to be on the Yahrzeit. It can be 6 months after the person dies. It can be 3 months. It can be 9 months. It doesn't have to be b'diyuk on the Yahrzeit. So let's say, for argument's sake, a person, he died in Chodesh Elul, and the following year, it would be normal in this family, the minhag in America is usually you make that Hakamas Matzeva at the time of the Yahrzeit. So Sunday, it's perfect. This coming Sunday will be the perfect time. The Yahrzeit is going to be sometime next week. So it's going to be perfect to make that Hakamas Matzeva on Sunday. So many parties can say it's not proper. You should have already made the Hakamas Matzeva in Chodesh Av. You should have already made that Hakamas Matzeva a few weeks ago. Or if it's not convenient to do it in the summer, you should have done it in June. Or you should have done it back. Now this year, obviously, Corona is a whole different story. But whatever it is, why? Because it's not proper to involve yourself in eulogizing the dead, not at the time of their death, in Chodesh Elul, being that it's 30 days before Yom Tov. And 30 days before Yom Tov, for an ordinary person who's not considered to be from the Gedolei Hadar, it's not the right thing to do. Other Paiskim disagree, and they tell you there's nothing wrong, because when did you ever go to Hakamas Matzeva where people broke down in tears and were so distraught you had to carry them away? You don't see that today. Today, unfortunately, we don't see people crying and eulogizing and feeling enormous grief over the loss of people, of relatives, a year later at the time of the Hakamas Matzeva. And what happens more often than not, the ones that I've been to, are just social events, unfortunately. I mean, it's not totally, but you know, it's we come to commemorate, we come to reflect, our nerves are shot. But when you see all your relatives there, you know what happens? It turns into a social event. So since the depth of mourning is not where it should be, that's why there are many poskim that say today, you don't have to be machmir, you can have eulogies, and you can have a hakamas matzeva, even in Chodesh Elul. Maybe Adrabba, going to the cemetery and seeing the dead will awaken you, will arouse you to do teshuvah, to be a better person as you go into the Yimei Hadin. Next topic, is it proper to get married in Chodesh Elul? So this is a very big debate. Some say no, it's not a time to frolic about at a wedding. It's not a time to celebrate weddings in Chodesh Elul because it's a serious time. Some say just the opposite. Some say, Adrabba, you should get married in Chodesh Elul, because Chodesh Elul, it will, first of all, what is a wedding? You know, you have to go ask a person. Sometimes you go to a wedding, and it's just hoilulos. It's just a wild scene of craziness. And sometimes you go to a wedding, and it's very choshev. It's dignified. And there's a sense of Yerushalayim. It's an event which is inspirational. If the event is an inspirational event, Adrabba, that's a very good Chodesh Elul, will be the ideal time to make a wedding. If unfortunately dealing with people who don't understand what a wedding is all about, and it just turns into a drinking happy hour for everyone there, then it's not obviously a good idea to make a wedding during Chodesh Elul. I remember I know someone who told me that he was a Talmud very close to Rav Rudiman, and he was planning to get married. He got engaged, and he goes into the Rebbe, and he tells him, Rebbe, we're getting married. The date, he looks at the date, Elul, you're getting married on a Ches Elul? I'm sorry, I can't come to the wedding. Rav Rudiman told him, Elul, you don't get married. And Elul is the Zman when you shakel, you learn, you daven, you learn Musar, Mislos Yashar, it's not a time to get married in Chodesh Elul. So who was sitting at the table with him? His Rebbetzin. His Rebbetzin was smoking. The Rebbetzin used to smoke. Rav Rudiman's wife. And his Rebbetzin looks at, as he sees the boy comes to the Rebbe to tell him, I'm getting married. And Rav Rudiman says, no, not in Chodesh Elul. So the Rebbetzin says, Rabbi Rudiman, tell me, when did you get married? He got married. So the Rav Rudiman says to the boy, okay, you can get married. I'll come to the wedding. You can come to the wedding. So, okay, so it's a matter of minog, of when is the proper time. Is it a proper time? Yeah, everyone does. Ish hayosha be'enav yase. Next topic of discussion. Yom Yudches Elul. It seems, now I'm not all familiar with these minhagim because I'm a litvak, a kalta litvak, but it seems that by Hasidim, Yom Yud Ches Elul is a special day. Why is it a special day? Maybe there's some yard site. I think there is some, someone was born that day. I don't know. But the main thing about that day is it begins the last 12 days of the year. Yom Yud Ches Elul is the countdown. It's like when the space shuttle used to go up, they used to have a countdown. Okay, they do that anymore. You don't hear about that anymore. The countdown, they used to have a countdown. So it's the countdown. The countdown begins T-minus 12 days until Rosh Hashanah. Why is the countdown begin from 12 days before Rosh Hashanah? Because according to the holy Kabbalistic Svarim, the last 12 days of the year correspond to the 12 months of the year. Which means on the 18th day of Elul, better behave yourself. Because on that day captures the whole month of Tishrei. And on day 19 of Elul, you capture the whole month of Cheshvan. And then on day 20 of Elul, it's the month of Kislev. Day 21 is Teves. Okay? And v'chulu, the last 12 days of the year is when the countdown to Rosh Hashanah begins. Right now, we're only up to day 7. Today is the 7th day of Elul. So it's like any other day. No one's... Okay, it's Elul, they blow shofar today, do tshuva, v'chulu. If you're a Sfardi, you went yatzet slichas today, Ashkenazi, maybe you got up a little bit early today, you do a little teshuva, but we're not yet holding at the countdown. The countdown begins on Yud Ches Elul, corresponding to the 12 months of the year. Okay, next topic. There's a minog that when you write a letter, or for that matter, when you say a hello and goodbye to a person starting with Chodesh Elul, that's when it's really serious to wish them Iksiva V'Chasima Toiva. The proper greeting is to give a person a bracha, Iksiva V'Chasima Toiva. The truth really is, many people say you do it from Tu B'Av. Okay, that's Zrizim Makdimim. But no one's going to have a complaint against you from the last 15 days of Av if you don't wish your friend a ksiva v'chasima toiva. But when you get to Chodesh Elul, then it's serious business. Then it's already the Zman when you make your phone calls, you write your letters. Anyone write letters today anymore? Everything is email. is WhatsApp, text. It's a different world today. But when you depart from your friend in Chodesh Elul, it's proper to wish them iksiva v'chasima toiva. Another minute in Chodesh Elul is to check your tefillin and mezuzos. This minig kadma, an ancient minig from time immemorial, that it's proper. Now, you don't have to check it every year. We know that the minig is you check your tefillin once every 3.5 years, approximately 3.5 years. Mezuzos also every 3.5 years. We are in this discussion. Some say that it's not in today's day and age. It's not such a good idea to check. You don't need to check your tefillin that often because it adarabah.
Why?
Because when you check your tefillin, because you may ruin the tefillin a little bit. So the minig is that whatever your minig is, those people who do check their tefillin and mezuzos often, the zman, the proper zman to evaluate what the situation is Chodesh Elul. Okay. Then there's another minig. We hear a lot of stories about this. Is a tainis dibur. Okay, by the Sfardim, there's such a thing. And in the yeshiva, there were people that used to do this. This was something which you don't hear about anymore in this generation. But it's something which was not uncommon in previous generations. Somehow, previous generations, they took Elul much, much more seriously. And one of the things that is done, try, it's a very fascinating topic. Probably your wife will be very happy if you do this. A tainis dibur. No talking. The only thing that can come out of your mouth is Torah. Torah utzvila. That's it. Everything else, complete silence. No conversation about anything. Not about money, not about children, not about entertainment, not about anything. A tainis dibur. Do you know anyone that does this today? I don't know anyone that does this today. But this is something which is brought down, and as a child, I remember hearing stories about people, Chodesh Elul, these holy people, they were oystik in a tiny steer in Chodesh Elul. Okay, that's the time for it. Now, there's another day in Chodesh Elul, which is a very frightening day. I'm just telling you some random things about Chodesh Elul, and that is Yud Zayin Elul. In fact, Yud Zayin Elul is listed in Shulchan Aruch as a tiny tzibur. We don't observe this tainis today anymore. We don't do it anymore. But there's a whole long list of days that they used to fast in previous generations when fasting was very popular. For example, Zayin Adar. Who doesn't fast? Zayin Adar, the yard side of Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole long list of days, you fast not just Asara B'Teves. You're supposed to fast 3 days in a row. You can eat at night, but 3 days in a row. Ches Teves, Tes Teves, and Yud Teves, Asar B'Teves, the siege on Yerushalayim, and on the eighth day of Teves is when Talmai HaMelech demanded that the Torah be translated into Greek, and a darkness came to the world for 3 days. The ninth day, so we don't really know what and why. So the Mishnah Berurah says from the Knesset HaGedolah, it's the day the Yahrzeit of Ezra HaSofer, or other reasons. There's a long list of days. One of those days that most people don't even know about is Yud Zayin Elul. And why? Because it says in Chazal, on Yud Zayin Elul is when the people, the Meraglim, died. The Meraglim who spoke Dibas Ra on Eretz Yisrael, they died. And when you're dealing with Eretz Yisrael, you don't play games. That's one lesson we learned, unfortunately, too many times. When you're dealing with matters, anything relating to the holiness, the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, you pay attention. And if on Yud Zayin Elul, the Meraglim, we have on record, the Meraglim died, and not just them, the people that, there was a Magefa, and they suffered a misa mishune. Chazal described how they died. Things came out of their throats. It's a whole long story. Therefore, it's a reflection on the milos of Eretz Yisrael. So we think that the only time we focus on Eretz Yisrael 4 times a year, Asar B'Teves, Shavuos v'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia. And you're done. You go home, you go to sleep, you're finished. You don't have to worry, you don't have to think about Eretz Yisrael anymore. Not true. There's a fifth day. The fifth day that you're supposed to really fast for Eretz Yisrael is Yud Zayin Elul. We again, we don't do this, you don't hear anyone today observing Yom Yud Zayin Elul. Now, by the way, something which is not a coincidence, something which is very horrifying, World War II began on Yud Zayin Elul. So when Chazal instituted that we should fast on Yud Zayin Elul because of the Dibas Roha, it was almost prophetic, another great tragedy would begin on Yud Zayin Elul, World War II, which for us was the Holocaust. Okay, so who says that the only day that we observe, if you want to talk about, it's interesting, the age-old debate about why don't we today institute a day to commemorate the Kedoshim besides Tisha B'Av? Why don't we have a special day to commemorate the Holocaust? Now, I know you'll tell me Yom HaShoah. Yom HaShoah, unfortunately, was not accepted in the Haredi world for one basic reason. It's Keneged Halacha. Because Yom HaShoah was the anniversary of the Warsaw Uprising, and that was in Chodesh Nisan. In Shulchan Aruch, it says explicitly, you don't fast and you don't make Hespedim in Chodesh Nisan. So this is not a day to, I mean, it's really tragic that the people who were pulling the strings in the state of Israel totally, something so fundamental to the state of Israel, really it's bizarre beyond words, because the whole state of Israel is purely a result of the Holocaust. And anyone that, I mean, that's like obvious as possibly can be. State of Israel is a result of the Holocaust. And there has to be a day to commemorate the Holocaust. So does halach, you can take any day in the year. You would think that there would be some accommodation, there would be some sensitivity to the religious people who observe the laws of Shulchan Aruch, and in Shulchan Aruch it says that during Chodesh Nisan, you're not allowed to deliver Hespedim and to fast. So it's not the right time. Now that they've already done it without asking questions, without having any regard for what the halacha says, now there's another question of how sensitive an Orthodox Jew should be towards this day. That's a whole different topic of discussion. But let us say, for argument's sake, that they would have sat down, or even us would sit down and select a day to commemorate the Holocaust. What would it be? So all these, there's a lot of topics. You can say a lot of different things. But what is so frightening is that it seems like Chazal already did it for us. Chazal already says in Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Aruch Chaim, it's in the Mishnah Berurah Chelek Vav, the last Chelek. Towards the very, very end, I think Kamat, like the very last simonim, all of the days of the year when we're supposed to fast, Chazal already instituted a day to fast, and that is Yud Zayin Elul. It's primarily because of the Dibar Ra that the Meraglim spoke about Eretz Yisrael and the Magefa that resulted, but it's also a day, the day of World War II, which is on the candidates, on the list, the short list of days that would have been selected to commemorate the Holocaust, it's all the way up there on the short list. Some will tell you Kristallnacht. Some will tell you the voyage of the St. Louis. I don't know, all different ideas what you can suggest. But the beginning of World War II is certainly a very valid candidate, and anyway, it's a Yom Tzayim. Okay, there's another minog in Chodesh Elul that once you begin reciting Slichot, you don't eat nuts. See, not eating nuts is not just a minhag on Rosh Hashanah, Because an egois is the gematria chait. Okay? That's not the only reason why a chait without the aleph. It's not only on Rosh Hashanah. The minig not to eat nuts, whole nuts, oh nuts, do they close down during Chodesh, during Slichos? I don't think so, because they don't just sell nuts, they sell a lot of other good stuff. But the minig is not to eat egoism once you begin reciting Slichos all the way until Hoshanah Rabbah. Okay, there is such a minhag. Some only observe it, I guess, in Rosh Hashanah. It's too much to observe it the entire Tekufa. There's another very important minhag, and that is to be marbe b'tzedakah. Chodesh Elul is a time when you give tzedakah. It's a time when you open up your pockets and you distribute money to the poor. Okay, there are certain times in the year when you give tzedakah. Elul is a zman of giving tzedakah. Okay, there's certain things that you're supposed to learn. I don't know, everyone has all their different types of limudim. I'm not into these type of things, the different Kabbalah's farm, Taimer Devora, Zoyar, this doesn't help me. I came across something very interesting this year, and I've never heard such a thing. This is a very fascinating thing. It's cited, such a minug, it makes a lot of sense. A person, if he's moving, if you are planning, you have to talk to people who have their whole lives in order. And they're planning to move to a new home. Chanukah Sabayis. You're planning to move into a new home. You purchased a new home, did renovations, and it's time to move in. If you can arrange it, it's not ideal to move into a new home during Chodesh Elul. Why not? So this is fascinating. Because if you move into a new home during Chodesh Elul, basically, you're going to be in your home from the 30th day of Elul, from the 15th day of Elul, okay? Right, the minig is from the 15th day of Elul. If you're going to move into a new home after the 15th day of Elul, how many days will you be in your home from the day 16 of Elul until the first day of Sukkos? Less than 30 days. If you move into a home today, today is only the 7th day of Elul, so by the time it comes Sukkos, you will have been in your home more than 30 days. Wonderful. So if you move into your home, you're living in your home more than 30 days, in halacha, you're living in a diras keva, a permanent dwelling. In order for your home to have the status of a permanent dwelling, lechatchila, with all of the bells and whistles, you already have to be living there for 30 days. Even though you may be living in a multi-billion-dollar home and has everything very nice, but it's not called your diras keva. Diras keva doesn't just go on the type of structure. It's a stone structure, wood, cement, have a ceiling, it's reinforced. That's not the only definition of a diras keva. A diras keva means, this is where I live. I've been living here for years. I'm living here for a significant period of time. In halacha, 30 days constitutes a diras keva. So now, if you're living in a diras keva, and now comes Sukkot, the 15th day of Elul, the Torah says to you, say, midiras keva, leave your diras keva, v'ikones lidiras arai, and enter into a temporary dwelling. But if you are living in your home for less than 30 days, so now you're living in a diras arai, so then you are losing out on fulfilling the full scope of say midiras keva vikones lidiras arai. By you, it's say midiras arai vikones lidiras arai. You're just going from one diras arai, one temporary dwelling to another temporary dwelling. In order that it should be called say midiras keva, you have to be living in your home for 30 days. So therefore, if a person has the ability, l'chatchila, of course, not ma'akev at all, but l'chatchila, to get the full scope of what it means, diras keva, you should be living in your home for 30 days. So therefore, a person should not move into, should not schedule to move in to a new home within the last 15 days of Elul, which is within 30 days of the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Okay, so we've gone through, almost all the minhagim I wanted to mention. There's also one other thing that we do in Chodesh Elul that's unique to Elul, is that that's really next week, Parshas Kisavoy, to lane the Toichacha. The Toichacha, Ezra HaSofer, he has arranged the calendar and the parasha is in such a way that we should lane the Toichacha in Chodesh Elul. Why? Tichle shana v'kilelayseha. May the kololos of this year come to an end. And certainly, with a very heavy heart and a very sad spirit, this year has had its full share of curses. All the people who suffered in Corona, who died, and their families, and those who are sick, and those that are in a state of pachad, and those who have not yet recovered fully, and those who are worried, and those who lost their jobs, and those whose lives have been totally, totally ripped apart in every way. Unfortunately, we have had our full dose of, we have had a very significant dose of curses. And what you do in Chodesh Elul, it's a zman to discharge all the curses, no more. Tichle shana v'kilelayseha. So next week, Parshas Kisavoy, when we relay in the Toichacha, make sure you have kavana, that when you learn, make sure you come to shul for the Toichacha, and you hear the Toichacha word for word, because by hearing Toichacha word for word, it's good riddance to Corona. Because Corona is written all over the Toichacha. Every single pasuk of the Toichacha, you can see Corona spelled out literally in every pasuk of the Toichacha. You can make a perish of the curse of Corona just by reading the words of the Toichacha. It's all there. And when we read it, we have the koyach of good riddance. Tichle shana v'kilelay seha. Okay, so these are pretty much the minhagim of Chodesh Elul. Okay, the laws of the Toichacha, maybe we'll do it next week. There's a lot of good stuff on the Toichacha, how to read it, all the different minhagim. But I think we've gone through kemat, all the different minhagim. I'll just recap before we go to the next topic, but just to recap all the minhagim, just very quickly, just to summarize in Mamash, just a few words. We mentioned, okay, we know we blow shofar Chodesh Elul, some say slichos Chodesh Elul, we say Tehillim Chodesh Elul. We are not maspid mesim that are not b'sha'as petirosan in Chodesh Elul. Hakamas matseva is a question if it's proper to do. Weddings is a controversy. Should you make a wedding during Chodesh Elul? We mentioned Yud Ches El is a special day because it's the beginning of the countdown. We wish Ksiva Chasima Toiva. We checked Tefillin and Mezuzos. There's something called a principle called a Tainus Dibur. We mentioned that Yud Zayin Elul is a special fast day because of Eretz Yisrael, the Dibasra, and it's the day of the World War II, the beginning of World War II, with Marbit Staka, and we don't, after 15 days into Elul, we don't move into a new house, and we leave the Toichacha. And I left out there are a few things I left out over here, I noticed I left out, and that is, there's something that I left out I wanted to mention.
The Sfaradim is the Slichot.
I'm sorry?
By the Sfaradim.
The whole Chodesh Elul is the
Slichot. One thing about them, they say the same Slichot every single day, and everybody is familiar with that. And everybody say together, it's beautiful, word by word. I was in shoes in studying, I visited, and it's amazing. I was very impressed. Everybody was affected.
It's beautiful.
By us, we just mumble them. We don't understand what they say. About the Piyutim, they have Piyutim assessment. Very simple Piyutim. But I don't know. I don't know why by us it's different.
I hear. One thing I came across, I never heard of this before. It says here, there's a minog, cite sources, that during Chodesh El, a person should say, when you say the bracha, Hashivenu Hashem Elecha, the bracha, Hashivenu Avinu L'Sora Secha, V'Karvenu Malkeinu L'Avoyda Secha. That in Shemona Esrei, three times a day we say Shemona Esrei. So a person during Chodesh El should focus and have kavana, not just for himself. He should be mispalel in Chodesh El specifically for Acheinu B'nei Yisrael that are totally lost. And this has always been a problem, but in America, you know, in America there are 15 million Jews that don't even know they're Jewish. They know nothing. And part of the Zuchus for the Yimei HaDin is not to be selfish. It's to focus on other people who need help. And people out there in America, our brethren, Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, unfortunately, they don't know, they didn't have a Jewish education. They don't know what they're missing out on. And when we say the tefillah, Hashivenu Avinu L'Sarasecha V'Karavenu Malkeinu L'Avodasecha V'Hachzirenu B'Shuva Shleimo L'Fonecha, our kavana in Chodesh Elul should be for them. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow, some way, should bring about some inspiration where one thing will lead to another and they will be choizer b'shuva. You never know. You never know what your prayers can do. Okay, they say, watch out what you pray for. Hashem may answer you. It's a time not to be selfish. It's a time to focus on other people. Okay, now let's go to another topic. The other topic we want to discuss is reciting L'David. L'David Hashem Oyri. Okay, we didn't talk about this yet. Okay, L'David Hashem Oyri is something that we do during Chodesh Elul. And I will mention, yes, that we usually do it together with blowing of the shofar. This is a modern minhag. Okay, it's a modern minhag. It first started only about 300-400 years ago at most to recite after davening L'David Hashem Oyri. This mizmor is very unique. First of all, what's the reason why this minhag has gained popularity? Because the first words of the mizmor are interpreted by Chazal to refer specifically to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. It's a medrash. Medrash Shechetoyv, L'David Hashem Oyri, Oyri B'Rosh Hashanah, Oyri B'Rosh Hashanah, and the Yishi B'Yom Kippurim. Obviously that refers to Sukkot. So since the very beginning of this mizmar is interpreted by Chazal, Oyri Rosh Hashanah, Yishi Yom HaKippurim, and Ki Besuko Yitzbineni is obviously reference to Sukkot, obviously it's proper to recite this mizmar to bring out, to remind us there are three holidays that are rapidly approaching: Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Okay, this is cited virtually by a major segment of Klal Yisrael, but not by everyone. Not everyone says this mizmor. Some, there are a lot of very interesting, very diyukim in this mizmor. Number one, in this mizmor, how many words are there? In this mizmor, 148 words. That's a very important number. 148, by the way, is Begematria Pesach. Pesach. 148. And 148 is significant in the fact that it's also double 74. What is the significance of the number 74? Aid, a witness. How many witnesses do you need? You need two witnesses. You need Al Pishnaim Eidim Yakum Davar. The recital of this mizmar, which has 148 words, is significant. Now, I never really looked at it like this, but one of the things I always like to go back to is the kinos and Tisha B'Av. Towards the end of the kinos, there are two kinos which go together. where Yirmiyahu Hanavi, he appears to him a woman who's dressed in black and is filthy dirty, but yet he sees in her an elegance, a beauty. He sees in her features, her form, her features, an elegance and beauty. Yet she's filthy dirty and she's wearing black garments. Yirmiyahu Hanavi is startled and he says to her, "Who are you? Mihu Zevi is, who are you? So are you a human being? Or are you a demon, a shade?" And she says, "None of the above. I am a woman." A woman is not a human being and not a shade. No. It says, "I am none of the above. Who am I? I represent Knesset Yisrael." Now, in the process of her saying that she represents Knesset Yisrael, in a very, very bizarre description of herself, she says to Yirmiyah, "I am one, I am three, I am, there's all these numbers she gives. I'm one, I'm three, I'm 60, I'm 70. She goes through a whole long list of numbers. And then the Kina goes to describe, one is Avraham, three are the Avos, four are the Imos, and 60 are the Shishim Riboy, 70 is the Sanhedrin, and Moshe al Gabeim. If you add up all the numbers in that Kina, all the numbers that this woman uses to describe herself, add them up. I did this only 100 times to make sure the number is correct. It's 148. So when Yirmiyahu HaNavi sees this woman and says, "Who are you?" On the one hand, you appear to be a human being. On the other hand, you're a demon. And she says, "None of the above. I represent Knesset Yisrael." And she goes on to describe herself. Who is Knesset Yisrael? The greatest zechusim of who we are. We have Shishim Riboy. We have Moshe Rabbeinu. We have Shlosha Avos. We have a Sanhedrin of 70. All the Milos, all those numbers add up to 148. So I always like to elaborate that on Yom Kippur, that on Tisha B'Av, the major main theme of Tisha B'Av is Bitseisi Bimitzrayim, Bitseisi Mirushalayim. But the truth is, the number 148 is also significant in the Mizmar LeDavid Hashem Oyri. LeDavid Hashem Oyri is a Mizmar which has captured the imagination of Klal Yisrael. Because in this Mizmar, we start off with Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. We mentioned the theme, Achash Sho'alti Me'ez Hashem Oiso Avakesh Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai Lachazos B'noyim Hashem Ulvake Becholoi. In this Mizmar, the story of this Mizmar, it captures quite a bit about who we are. And in fact, one of the topics of discussion in this Mizmar is, why does it start with the word LeDavid? Most of the Zmar Min Tehillim, they begin with Mizmar LeDavid, or LeDavid Mizmar, or Lamnatseach, or V'chulu V'chulu, Halleluka. There are so many different styles of Mizmarim which have friends. In other words, if you find a style and it has a friend, that means, if you have at least two Mizmarim that start, Mizmar LeDavid, or LeDavid Mizmar, Lamatseach, Benegino, Lamatseach, Halleluka. Okay, so this is the style. There's only one Mizmar that begins with the word LeDavid. There's no Lamatseach, there's no Mizmar, there's no tefillah lemoish. It's unique. If it's unique, what do you mean LeDavid? Who else? Who else wrote Tehillim? David wrote Tehillim. What do you mean LeDavid? The answer is, this Mizmar, David HaMelech himself says, is me. When I say in a mizmor, mizmor l'David, so what does that mean? It's not me. It's abstract. It's a song for David. David is David, and David is composing a song. David, it's not in my blood. It's a composition. A person can fantasize if you want. A person can remove himself from the world of reality and fantasize and can go and can make and can express ideas that are not necessarily in the world of reality. A person has the ability to do that. When David makes a mizmar, he says it's a mizmar l'David. It means it's my composition. It's like I'm a screenwriter. I'm a screenwriter for some play. Do I really believe in the plot? No, but it's interesting, so, and it's an opportunity. Now, of course, you can't say that when it comes to a holy, sacred work of Tehillim, because David obviously is aspiring to achieve what he writes in the Mizmar, but it doesn't necessarily mean that David has achieved the words that are found in the Mizmar. When the Mizmar begins, L'David, I don't need any stimulants. It doesn't represent a fantasy. It doesn't represent a goal. What was, what will be. This is who I am. This is me. This is David. L'David. Hashem oiri v'yishi mimi ira Hashem oschaya mimi. This is who I am. This mizmar captures the authenticity. In Chodesh Elul, we are yearning for authenticity. That's the name, that's the key word in Chodesh Elul, authenticity. From all of Tehillim. What?
I am
tefillah. V'ani sefillah. I am this tefillah. But this mizmar, he takes L'David. And look at the words, what it says here. It captures his essence. How many words are there? 148 words. When the woman who Yirmiyahu HaNavi met, who represents Klal Yisrael, she said, who are you? You want to know who I am? I'm one, I'm three, I've got all the numbers she uses there. I'm 60, I'm 70, I'm this, I'm that. Add up the numbers. You want to know who I am? I'm 148. I always like to say 140 means I'm Pesach. I'm Pesach, the end of a Pesach. But in light of Elul, you know who I am? I'm L'David Hashem Oiri v'Yishi Mimi Iro Hashem Oz Chaya Mimi Efchad B'Kruvalayim B'Rayim L'Chalas V'Sar Tzayva Oiva Elihim L'Choshlo V'Nafalo. This Mizmah of 148, just like it captures who is David, all of the incredible concepts that we express, this really, in essence, is Klal Yisrael. This is us. When we're reading L'David, we are dressing, we're beautifying this woman that Yirmiyahu HaNavi met in the middle of the night. That's who we are addressing. That's who we're speaking with. The 148. And what did she say? Yirmiyahu, go to the Ovois. Ask them to help you. Go to Avraham, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, to Moshe, to Aaron, to the Imohois. Go to them. Return to them. That's where your salvation will come from. Shuvu vonim shevavim. Yesochar says lechtech rabbi midbar. I forgot the psukim, of course. That's the end. Is that Yesochar lefulasech num Hashem v'shavu banim legvulam. Hashem said to Rachel, indeed, at the end of that mizmar and that story, that's right. Your children will come back home. This woman has a message for us. When we recite the L'David, we're reading 148 words. We are coming in contact. We all put ourselves in the shoes of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. And we're coming in contact with this woman. And she's telling us, go back to your roots. Go back where you came from. To Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron. Return. Shuvu vonim. That's the theme, the message. Mayor, are you here, Mayor? Mayor, are you still here? Mayor, are you here? I have a special guest here for you, Mayor. Mayor, are you still there? Okay, let's go further. Okay, so this is LeDavid. We say LeDavid. When do you say LeDavid? So it depends. It's always a fight. Everything in life is always a machlokes. Do you say Shachris? Everyone says it. But do you say Mincha or do you say Ma'arif? Some people like me, they go out of their way to daven by an Ashkenaz minion for Mincha and by a Sfard minion for Ma'arif. That way they don't have to ever say it. And some people, like Mark, he goes out of his way, he only will daven Mincha in a Nusach Sfard minion, so he can say LeDavid.
No, it's interesting, Rabbi Lezevnik, they daven Nusach Sfard. But 50 years ago, when they made that decision, they kept LeDavid.
By Ma'arif.
Ashkenaz.
So let me ask you a question. Do they daven Mincha Ma'arif together?
Well, since Corona we do. We never did. We had a break of 30 minutes.
Okay, so there's something also to it is that ordinarily that if you daven Mincha Ma'arif together, then it would go after Ma'arif. But you're not davening it together, then you day after Mincha. So I don't know, it's very fuzzy. There's a lot of whatever it is.
There's a few steeples that say it after Ma'arif, even though when they don't daven it together, even Friday night, you know, whatever.
Right. Things evolved on its own.
After Ma'arif, for whatever reason, I don't know, but that's the minig.
You go back to the original sources, and then somehow it was because they daven Mincha Ma'arif, it seems that you're only supposed to say during the day. So daven Mincha. But if you daven Mincha Ma'arif together, it's like a unit. So it's like when Ma'arif is like when the day ends. Ma'arif, in a certain respect, you daven Ma'arif early, or when the day ends. So then you say. But then what happens in these shuls? Oh, then they started saying after Ma'arif, and then they have a late meaning for Ma'arif. They daven Ma'arif at 10 o'clock. So you know everything takes on a life of its own. The bottom line
what about
is
Shachris and Musaf.
Shachris, you for sure say. I mean, do you say
what
that?
I mean?
Yeah.
They do it after Shachris.
Not right.
All of them again.
Right.
But they're not consistent then. What's the reason that they're doing it after Shachris and not after Musaf?
Right.
So then if you're saying Mincha Ma'arif together, you do it after Ma'arif. So maybe Shachris and Musaf, you're doing it after Musaf.
Right.
So I mean, what's the rationale?
So I don't know. It's very, I don't know. There are, obviously there are reasons. I think in the past we once spent a lot of time on this. Okay, that's right. Is it really connected? It doesn't seem to be connected. It doesn't seem that the LeDavid has anything to do with the Shir Shal Yom. Saying LeDavid does not, LeDavid is not the Shir Shal Yom. In other words, there are certain days of the year that some claim we have a Mesorah. Still, what is the Shir Shal in the Beis Hamikdash? There was a Shir Shal Yom. But on Yom Tov, there was a separate Shir for that particular day. Rosh Chodesh, what's the Shir Shal Yom for Rosh Chodesh? Baruch Nafshi. So that means that technically, on Rosh Chodesh, you should not be saying, Hayom Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos. Because the Shir Shel Yom in the Beis HaMikdash was, Baruch Nafshi Yes Hashem. That is the Shir Shel Yom. So you don't say, you only say one Shir, one Shira, not more than one. So, we've lost the Mesorah. What was the Shir Shel Yom for Rosh Hashanah? The first day Rosh Hashanah, the second day Rosh Hashanah. What was the Shir Shel Yom for Shmini Atzeres? We don't know. It was lost from us. So what do? So we just say the regular Shir Shel Yom. If it's Monday, you say Monday. You open up the Siddur, you fiddle around, and you find the page in the Siddur, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you say whatever you say on a Monday. But the truth is, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYekayim, they did not say that. There was a special Mizmor that was selected for Rosh Hashanah that replaces the ordinary Shir Shel Yom. That's how it was done. But, so is LeDavid the Shir Shel Yom? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Don't make that mistake. LeDavid is a supplement. It's an additional tefillah in honor of Chodesh Elul and takes us all the way until Simchas Torah. It is not a sheer shel yoim. Mizmor shir Chanukah sabayis l'dover and Chanukah, maybe some will tell you it's a sheer shel yoim. Baruch Hi Navshi, the Gra has a whole long list of the sheer shel yoim. They claim that he has a Mesorah of what they actually sang in the Beis HaMikdash. Those technically will replace the regular shir, but not l'dover. L'David is a supplement, and therefore, who says you should say with the Shir Shel Yoim? You can say it at a different time of davening. If you're going to say the Shir Shel Yoim after Shachris, if you daven Nusach Sard in a Shtibel, and they say the Shir Shel Yoim after Shachris on Shabbos and on Rosh Chodesh, doesn't mean that that's where you should say L'David. L'David should be said as a supplement to the Tefillah after davening is over, after Musaf. And some say it has to be said together with the Shofar. You say with the, wherever you say the shofar, that's when you say l'david. So does the shofar, which one influences which? Does the shofar influence where we're going to say l'david, or does l'david influence where we're going to blow the shofar? I don't know the answer to all these questions, but all of these are very big issues, and connected to when we say l'david. Okay, let's discuss one more issue, and that is, let's discuss a little bit now, let's get started with slichos. Okay, Slichos.
Rabbi Levine?
Yeah.
I think some chassid, I think above, I don't remember. I was told they don't say L'David.
Oh, right. Like some don't say L'David. Right. There's a whole story behind this. It's a Kabbalah story. I don't remember the details. It's written up.
I think it's done. I don't remember as a kid. Years later, I went to Bob and they say, you say it?
Saying L'David is a new minhag. It's only about 300-400 years. There's a story behind it. There's a Hasidish Maisa behind the story, and there's a parallel to L'David. What is that? I don't remember. There's another thing that we say.
Oh, you got it,
Debbie? I don't remember the whole story. I mean, you know who I heard the story from in great detail? About Schneer Liner. He really set it out really well. Then I saw it written up in very great detail as well. It's a Hasidish Maisa. It's a Hasidish Maisa where there was a king, a non-Jewish king, that wanted, did not have children. And he wanted a child very, very much. He wanted his wife to conceive. And he went to the Gedolei Yisrael and he asked them, pray for me. Pray for me that I should have a child. And if you don't help me, I'm going to kill you all. If you don't pull strings in Shemayim, and arrange that my wife will conceive, I'll kill you all. And they will mispalil. And again, this is a chasid shemaisa, which is beyond my pay grade. And in Shemayim, they told the Gedolei Yisrael that, al derech hateva, there is no way in the world this person can have a child. It's impossible. It's just beyond. And Elamois, whatever you want to go say, but they said, if he doesn't have a child, he's going to kill us all. So they made a deal with the Satan. Do you believe this story? I don't understand this whole story. Is that we'll say L'David, he would have a child, and we're going to say, and in order to pay the price, Klal Yisrael will say L'David. It's some bizarre, bizarre story. And not everyone was Makabalist, and that's why there's a Hakpod in certain groups of Hasidim, they bedavka do not say L'David. And some do say L'David. I don't remember all the details. It's very, very bizarre. It's not in the world of normalcy, teva. Everything has a story behind it. But as far as we're concerned, it's a very beautiful mizmar. It says quite a bit. It puts us in the spirit of the Yamim Noirohim. It mentions Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah, Acha Shoalti Me'es Hashem Osavake, Shivti Me'es Hashem Kol Me'chayai, Lacha Zoyitz B'noyim Hashem. It has 148 words, like the Knesset Yisrael, this woman. It has the same gematria as Pesach, which represents our Haskola at the beginning of Klal Yisrael. It says also Hashem's name is mentioned 13 times is the Yudke Vavke in this Mizmar. 13 times. And the number 13, Hashem's name, is critical during these days because of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. The Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, we all know, represents Rachamim. The Shem Elokim represents Din. And during these days, we're seeking out Rachamim. So the fact that Hashem's name appears 13 times is only to our benefit, to remind us of Rachamim. Okay, when we say it, Shachris, Veshua, Mincha, Marv, different Minhagim, there are different reasons why, which I don't remember. I don't know why. But that's basically L'David Hashem in a nutshell. Now, we'll just start for Mamash in 2 minutes. We'll continue next week. I just want to get a little bit off the ground. Slichos. Slichos begins. Now, this year, let me look at the calendar. What's the calendar this year for Slichos? When do we begin saying Rosh Hashanah this year is on Shabbos? Is that true? Rosh Hashanah this year is Shabbos. Right? Shabbos this year. So that means, what's the whole issue about Corona? Anyway, we're not going to blow Shofar the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so it takes away the whole Corona problem. Everyone's going to, hi, I'm going to blow Shofar, the fumes of the Shofar. I'm going to kill everyone. Right? Everyone's talking about that. The fumes of the Shofar are going to kill everyone. So this year, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he only gave us 1 day of blowing Shofar. As far as I see in my calendar, it says that Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. So the only day we're going to blow Shofar is on Sunday. Just 1 day. Now, how many days? Now, this year, by the way, is a very good year. Because when did Hashem create the world? On what day of the week did Hashem create the world? Monday? Tuesday? On a work day. When was the first day of creation? The first day of creation is Sunday. So this year, Chof Hei Elul, It fits in perfectly. This year, Chof Hei Elul is Chof Hei Elul is the beginning of creation, is on Sunday, just like it was at the time of Maaseh Bereishis. So this year is a perfect match for Maaseh Bereishis. Now we know ordinarily we have to have at least 4 days of Slichos. And if we don't have 4 days of Slichos, then we push back Slichos a week before. Why? So first of all, Chazal very much wanted Slichos should begin on Sunday. Not just, one reason I told you was because that's when the world was created. The world was created on Sunday, Chof Hei Elul, and Yom HaShishi is Aleph. When Hashem created man, this was Friday. Friday is Yom HaShishi. And then, I made a mistake. What am I saying over here? What I said is not correct. Okay, scratch what I said. The world was created on Sunday. So when Rosh Hashanah, man was created on Yom HaShishi. So that means when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Friday, that would be the perfect year. Okay? When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Friday, that would be the perfect year. But this year is not the perfect year. It's not the perfect year. Okay, so in any event, we have to have 4 days. We have to have 4 days of...
Lo adu Rosh.
Right? So it's impossible. Because of the way the calendar is arranged, it's not possible. We have to have 4 days of reciting Slichas. Now, why did Chazal want this to be on a Sunday? So the very popular reason is they wanted to connect Slichas to Shabbos. The most important fundamental mitzvah in the Torah for Klal Yisrael is Shabbos. The person is a Shem Shabbos, he is everything. If Rachmana lives on a person not a Shem Shabbos, then he has problems. Shabbos has tremendous power and koyach. Therefore, Chazal wanted the kickoff to the Yimei Hadin to begin with Shabbos. And that's why Slichos is always going to be juxtaposed to Mitzvah Shabbos. Almost like you connect the end to the beginning. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the year. It's Yom HaShishi. It was Erev Shabbos. And now when we begin the new year, we're beginning with Mitzvah Shabbos. In other words, we're surrounding the year with Erev Shabbos and Motzoi Shabbos. That's how you have to look at it. That's what I was really trying to explain. Let's understand this point and we'll stop. Rosh Hashanah is Erev Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah is the sixth day, commemorates the sixth day of creation. The day when Adam HaRishon was created. Adam was created on Friday, Erev Shabbos. We begin Slichos Motzoi Shabbos. We conclude the Slichos in one respect is viewed as the end of the previous year. We're winding down the previous year, entering into the new year. If the new year begins with an Erev Shabbos, the conclusion of the previous year, it's only proper that it should focus and carry us from Mitzoy Shabbos. Last year, we had an Erev Shabbos for Rosh Hashanah, and then we went into the year. The year is like one big Shabbos. Now that year has come to an end, and we're winding down, we're packaging it up, we're doing teshuva as we come into the next year. So our packaging of the end of the year is an extension of Mitzoy Shabbos. The Yemei HaSlichos are done Mitzoy Shabbos, not because only the first Slicho is Mitzoy Shabbos. All of the Slichos that we do from Mitzoy Shabbos until Rosh Hashanah is like one big long Motzoi Shabbos. Because this is the perfect packaging for the year. Rosh Hashanah, the new year, was ushered in with an Erev Shabbos. And the end of the year is closed off with a Motzoi Shabbos, an extended Motzoi Shabbos. And the year itself is Shabbos. Yoim Shekuloi Shabbos. It's a way of saying to Hashem that look at our year that we've gone through as sacred. Because Shabbos is Kodesh. The weekday is Chol. It's our goal to be Moisif Michol Al HaKodesh. To elevate our daily activities should be sacred and thus earn us Chelik in Olam Haba. So we package the year with an Erev Shabbos and a Mitzoy Shabbos. The din is Erev Shabbos, the year is Shabbos, the Slichos is the wind down, the Gemar of the previous year, it's an extended Mitzoy Shabbos. The goal is, thus the whole year has been sacred, it's been sacred, it is to our advantage that everything that's happened will be a merit for us in the Zchus V'Klal Yisrael. Okay, that is just a little bit of a drush to be maskil in the sugya of Slichos, which is a very, very big topic, what Slicha is all about, and all the Pratim, L'chol Pratim V'Tukecha, which in Yiratz Hashem will continue with this on Monday, B'Shad Tov Matzlachas. Rabbi Yosef, have a wonderful day. Rabbi Yosef, those who learn with me at night, tonight we do Siddur, it's Thursday night, it's 7:15. I have to go somewhere tonight, so I'm gonna give the Shiur in the car. Okay, I'm not driving, I'm a passenger. I'm a passenger, and the driver already told me that, yeah, he wants to hear a shiur. So, I will be giving the shiur tonight as a passenger in a car. I hope it will work out. If not, there's always Rabbi Mayevsky. So, Emir Sashem, okay. One way or another, I'll see you tonight.
And call to
be okay, Rabbi Levine.
Yeah.
While you were talking about it, I was looking up the origin of Ladovid. So I'm looking in the Minig Yisrael Torah. He gives a date of the origin of it. It comes down to, it gives the Hebrew date, but it comes out to 1706 is when it started from the Sefer Chemdes Hayomim.
Right.
But it wasn't originally when the minig came out, of course, so that's why it was a new minig. The Gra didn't say it, because it was new. And the minig was not to say it betzibur. The minig was initially to
privately.
Say it privately. That it's good to say it, but not during davening.
And some want to say that siddur,
not as part of a tefillah b'tzibur. This was something you said privately.
And
not,
some say that,
that's
that
what it says,
right, and that siddur chenda, some want to say from a Shabbos Tzvi. Some want to add the reason why they don't say it, Shabbos Tzvi, because
what he says, but I don't know if it's Shabbos Tzvi because he mentions a Reb Shabsi, but he doesn't say Shabbos Tzvi. So I'm wondering if it's not a mistake that it's Shabbos Tzvi because there was a Rabbi Shabsi.